Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Make sure you get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. You can sign up for our free newsletter. You can access all of our social media accounts, and you can see every episode, listen to every episode. And of course, you need to subscribe on YouTube as well. Go to the Common Fan YouTube page, which you can access from the Common Fan website, and subscribe on YouTube. Just make sure you go to the site, see what it's all about. You can keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Also, go to cpbeef.com to get Nebraska's finest and America's finest beef from certified Piedmontese. This is premium Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. And you can get 25% off using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, Common Fan. Boys, what's going on today?
Hey-o.
Living the dream.
Yeah.
Just living the dream.
Spring ball is over and Common Fans are staring into the void of May, June, and July, which are really like great months out of the year. The weather's nice. You know, yeah. I think about going to the pool as a kid. But you know what we don't have in those months is any sort of Nebraska football. But thankfully, the Common Fans are here for you. We're here to talk about football all year long. And this is always, it's always fun. It feels like an achievement to get on the other side of spring ball, and we can really start hankering for football, hankering for the season while we enjoy the summer sunshine. So
good,
we got a fun
months for good months for a void.
That's right. That's exactly
May, June, July.
It's better than like January void. And better than January and February.
When I'm broadcasting from the void right now. If you guys haven't noticed, it's a phantom zone. I'm in a cave right now.
Are you on the Death Star, Geoff? is your light broken? I mean, you can see your face at least, thankfully.
I don't know.
Thankfully for our lady listeners, we can see her face. that actually kind of worked. We have got a fun episode for you today. We did this last year post spring ball, and it was one of our, we just had lots of laughs. It was a great episode, and it got a lot of views and a lot of downloads. So that was good too. We're going to look at three games that will define the season for Nebraska football. I'm going to give one example of what we did last year. I think all three of us, so it's not necessarily like the most important games, but it's, you know, like what are, it's not necessarily the games against the highest ranked teams, I guess is the way I'll say
right.
That. Yeah. But more about like, what are the games that are most important to the fan base? What are potentially most important to postseason prospects, whether that's a bowl game or something more. So it could be the most important games, but it's not necessarily like, it's just not automatically the games against the biggest name programs or the highest ranking programs necessarily. There are sort of other criteria for this. And I think like one perfect example is last year, I'm pretty sure all three of us picked Iowa, and the way the season turned out, like, I think that absolutely, was like, that's one that sticks in my craw to this day. Mm-hmm. I think about,
he won't Nebraska quit talking about it. He won't quit talking. About
I won't,
it,
I won't quit talking about he it. Won't. That's right. So the Huskers lost that game. We all know the story. It still annoys me. I don't think it necessarily, that game alone doesn't make the season a failure. We've talked about this. The season was a success. It was the first winning season in 8 years, first bowl game in since 2016, all those things. But, you know, I think it's a slightly different conversation and a different bowl game if we beat that, if we win that Iowa game. So that was one we all had. And I think that ended up being one that did define the season. So we all have, all three of us have made our own lists. We have not shared our lists with each other in advance. That's usually how we do these things, which makes it a lot more fun. So we might have some overlap. We might have some of the same ones. And I think also, like, we each maybe have our own, you know, ways of thinking about which games are important. Like, maybe a game is important to the fan base because it's a big rivalry, but maybe it won't be as important when it comes to, you know, I'm thinking of how much Jeff hates PJ Fleck. But maybe someone else doesn't think Minnesota is as important game. So that's fun too. We kind of each come with our own opinions on which games are important. So without further ado, we're going to go in the same order every time. Which one of you guys wants to go first?
I'll go first since Jeff was taking a drink of water.
Go for it.
Yeah. So, and also this is not necessarily in order of, say, like, priority or preference. It's simply in random order. As they used to say on Star Search. So, Matty, why don't you start us off with your first game that will define the season for Nebraska.
Perfect. My first game that will define the season is, to me, the first game of the season against Cincinnati in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium. Just because think about it. How many times over the last 10-ish years have we been really excited about the season? We won another offseason national championship. And then game one happens, and we're kind of like, oh, crap. Everything that we thought is not what we are. So I think they got to show up week one. There's going to be a ton of viewers. It's on a Thursday night. I can't remember if it's week one or week zero. You know, they have the few games that happened the week before. But August 28th on a Thursday night, there's going to be a lot of people watching that to see how Raiola is going to do, whether they like him or hate him, right? It's a good chance to kind of put a stamp and say, hey, no, we're going to be pretty good this year. So I got game one against the lowly Cincinnati Bearcats.
I like that a lot, Matty O. You raise a really good point. Like, what happened to the good old fashioned home opener on a 98 degree day in Lincoln against the Pacific?
Well, right? we had it last year.
Yeah. No, I know. Right? I know.
And how good did it feel?
Right, exactly.
Like, let's go kick the crap out of somebody that we know we should beat. And yes. Then you're kind of like, okay. Now, let's wait till we play somebody good to see how we really are. But that's what it should be every year. It's like if you're going to start out with, you know, start out the season, you want to start it out with a win against. And I don't care who it's against.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just start out the season with a win.
2021 at Illinois, loss.
Barf.
2022 in Ireland against Northwestern.
Double
loss.
Barf.
Yeah,
2023 at Minnesota on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
Same. I think this one is right before the main weekend. It's right before Labor Day weekend. Matty, to answer your question.
Thank you.
But same Thursday night game at Minnesota, loss. Right.
The Thursday night game. Damn them.
2020 was the COVID year. Off the top of my head.
2019, I think we started at home.
2019 might have been a bit more of a cupcake, so to speak. But yeah. But anyway, like that's just the last 4 or 5 years we have not had your quote unquote traditional normal openers. And you're right. They do tend to set the tone. I think that's a great, I didn't have that one on my list. And not to give too much away, but I think that's a great pick.
Matty. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job, Matt.
Do you have any thoughts on Cincinnati?
Well, I picked the same one. So
get the heck out of here.
To piggyback on what Matt said, it's losing that first game coming off an off season with so much hype and we're going to take that year three leap. If you start the season like that, not only is it detrimental for the fan base, but that tends to, you know, get the players down as well. And if you look at the schedule, I mean, if we start off with Cincinnati and you get an L right there, hopefully you can beat Akron and what is it? Holy Christian or HCU or whatever.
Houston Christian.
Yeah.
You rally off two wins there. Michigan's no gimme game. You lose that one. Suddenly, we're four games in and we're at 500. You've already met your quota for getting into the college football playoff. Maybe wiggle room for one more loss. That's just not a good way to start the season at all. So, in my opinion, I agree with Matt. Cincinnati is one that's going to probably determine the trajectory of the season immediately, especially if we come in there and we don't win. So, definitely got to get a W there.
That's a great assessment, Geoff. You said something I was going to respond to, and now I've lost it, but I'll think of it again. So mine
2-2, losing another game, like not making the playoff. Sky is falling, panic sets in. That's over.
That's enough. That's enough, John. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go. I think what's fun about this too is that like there's probably games that none of us will pick that they will define the season if we think we're going to lose, and we like if somehow Akron's a struggle, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. That will end up defining the season. So that's another thing that's kind of fun about this. I think about this very aspirationally about like, you know, anyway. Okay, so my first one, guys, I'm guessing will be on your list as well. My first one is Michigan, right? So yeah. I've got some rose-colored glasses on. Certainly all Husker fans know that you can't take anything for granted. We can't take Cincinnati for granted. And they were kind of like us of recent years. Last year, I think they were 5-7, but they lost a lot of really close games. This will be year 3 of their transition into a Power 5 conference. So like maybe they're ready to turn a corner. I don't really know. If Nebraska is what we think they could be, we should handle Cincinnati. I'm certainly not taking that for granted, but I think this Michigan game is huge. And I'm guessing you guys, at least one of you guys, maybe both of you has it on your list as well. But I think they'll Michigan, you know, they ended, we talked about this, you know, they new head coach last year. They ended the year really strong, beating Ohio State, winning their bowl game. Interestingly, they open up New Mexico at home, then at Oklahoma, and then Central Michigan at home. So like if they come in undefeated, especially if they beat Oklahoma, they'll be in the top 25. There's a lot of hype around Sherrone Moore. And I think there's a lot of hype around this five-star quarterback that's going to be starting for them. So that's going to be a big game. And it's just two blue bloods, two like traditional college football powers with some history as well. And I mean, you could argue after their season last year, maybe two programs in a somewhat similar place. So for all those reasons, and I think for me too, like just from the Husker perspective, if we think this is a year or the year that Matt Rhule takes a leap, this is the kind of game we got to win.
Yeah.
Right. Like we had the ball with a chance to beat Ohio State. We had, you know, we could have, would have, should have beat USC and UCLA. And like eventually, not that UCLA was very good last year, but like eventually we have to win these games. Maybe they will be 3-0 and we won't even be favored. Eventually we have to start winning these games.
Yeah.
So that's why I have Michigan. Any other thoughts before we go to game two, boys?
I took Michigan as my second one. So we can transition.
Good transition.
I'm 100% everything you said, I agree with. And it just feels like one of those where, again, if you want to go to the next level, you do have to win a game like that, especially at home early in the season. The crowd is going to be hyped. Ideally, we're 3-0. Michigan's probably 3-0 too. And it's going to be a huge game. You know, it's probably going to have all the hype and hoopla. And I mean, we might even be top 25 at that point. I've seen us in some preseason analyst top 20, early top 25s. It could be a battle of two ranked teams. And I just think you've got to do whatever you can to win a game like that. And again, Jeff says trajectory about the Cincinnati game. This is like next level of trajectory. Like you hit you hit a level with Cincinnati, a little bit with the two games you should win. And then it's like, okay, time to go keep going further up. So it's going to be fun, guys. And, you know, late September, Saturday in Lincoln, Michigan coming to town. Huge game.
Well, and let me just get a little bit crazy for a minute. Like the, you know, USC, Penn State, Iowa, those are all in the back half of the schedule, right? So, and as we've discussed, similar to last year, our best chance to, you know, get to bowl eligibility is to do it early. And then, then you're hopefully playing with house money, you know, as opposed to if we were say starting, I know we always have Iowa day after Thanksgiving, but if we were starting with Penn State and Iowa and USC early in the conference schedule. So imagine they go 3-0 and then they come out and beat Michigan. And then suddenly it's like, you're looking at what you think. I mean, again, taking nothing for granted, what you think should be some manageable games because you're still in the front half of that first 7 or 8 games of the Big Ten schedule are all arguably winnable. I don't even know if I should say this out loud because it probably sounds delusional, but
it is.
I mean, imagine we win the first 3 and then we beat Michigan. Like Husker fans were like, here we go. We're never losing again. Right. Like that. I mean, that's that's the flip side. Like that's the game that we haven't won. Like that's the again and again, time and again in recent years, whatever the scenario, the get over the hump game, we haven't won. And that's why it's so big.
Yeah.
All right. Geoff, game number two for you, buddy.
I agree with both of you. Michigan is a huge game, obviously, just from a ranking standpoint and beating a big team. But I'm just going to ignore
there's
that.
A butt there.
I'm just going to ignore that and skip all the way down to the personal reasons to Minnesota. This is just purely for me as a fan. You guys know how I feel about PJ. I'm kind of dressed like him today. I'm kind of ashamed of it, too. I've got like this sweater vest thing on, a tie.
You should definitely be ashamed.
I should be ashamed. Bald head, headphones on. They've had our number. I mean, when was the last, you guys know better. When was the last time we beat Minnesota? How long has it been? Like they've had our number.
It's been 2018. Frost first year, 2018.
Yeah. And it's just like, that dude on the sideline drives me freaking nuts, man. And you can talk about their record, whether they're good. I never have thought they're a very good team. I always feel like their coach is just a hype man. I feel like he gets all this praise and everybody else does all the work. And he's just out there just kind of with his gimmicky little catchphrases. And I'm kind of going down the road of like TJ last year with Indiana saying like, why do they even feel the team? It's insulting. I'm just insulted that this guy is still there and people love him up in that area so much. I think people do legitimately like PJ Fleck up in Minnesota. And I don't know. I can't understand the appeal of this guy. I just feel like for us as a fan base, beating Minnesota for the first time in a long time would be just a good, good feel for us. And the team's going to be better for it as well. So let's beat Minnesota. Let's kick their ass this year. I'm sick of PJ Fleck. I'm at it.
I love that, Jeff. Matteo, any thoughts on Minnesota?
Well, I do.
You want to wait?
Well, I want to wait.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm gonna make an audible here. I played a little bit of quarterback in high school, as you guys know. I'm capable of audibling. I was gonna pick Minnesota, but I'm gonna do something different now. But I do want. I'll add my two cents on that, Jeff. I love that pick, and I think because it's been so long, it really is. I think there are a lot of Husker fans who feel the same way. They're annoyed by PJ. Most of the games we've played, it feels like we, again, coulda, woulda, shoulda, but like we should have won. 2023 being the most recent example, the Jeff Sims turnover fest that we still were leading 10-3 late in the game. And it's also because it's Minnesota. Yes. And they were so bad for so long. And now they're not good. Like they're okay. The PJ's been, he had the 2019 season was good. They were like 11-3 or something and went to a good bowl game. But usually they have like, you know, 7-9 wins and, you know, they're pretty good. And they're about the fifth story in that sports media market. And so PJ can just sort of subsist doing that as long as he keeps going to a bowl game, but they do like him there. But I think for all those reasons, like Husker fans feel that Minnesota is inferior to them. And so the fact that we can't beat them combined with their clown show of a coach just makes it absolutely infuriating for us.
Yeah.
So I'll give that.
It's a jealousy thing too. I think
I'm changing mine.
It is. I think it is, Jeff, because I think it's like they're beneath us and yet they've been better than us.
Yeah. And they're where we, it's sad, but they're where we want to be, like 7-9 wins consistently.
Yeah.
Right. It's a jealousy. Well,
for now, this is where we want to be for now, Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm 100% with you guys. I was going to have Minnesota for my third, but I'm going to change course because I want to jump in here. We absolutely should not ever lose to Minnesota ever, ever. So like, that was going to be my thing. My third pick is like, not just PJ Fleck. Jeff touched on that. It's like, they don't care about football. Like they might think that they do, but on the level that like we care or like the big boys care, it's not even close.
Right.
Like
they're an afterthought. Like, they're an afterthought in college football.
And it's, they're never was. It extremely annoying that they kind of do like similar to Iowa. Like they're just body blows. There's nothing fun or exciting or sexy about it. Like they always have a good running back and they'll run him 30 times a game.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, they're still in the game because they just slow it down and it's just boring football. Yep. And you couple that with Fleck and his personality,
antics.
I just can't stand him. Like, I really want it to this year to be like, and I don't think we probably won't play Minnesota every year moving forward, but we should never lose to them again is my, yep, is my take on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good call.
Absolutely. Okay, good. I'm glad we are aligned on that.
We're on the same page on that one.
My, and now we get a bonus. Now we get a bonus game from me.
Yeah, there, exactly. We don't have to limit this to three, guys. We can talk about all these.
Let's talk about every game.
That's right. That's right. My second one, now that I'm calling an audible, is USC. Here's why I think that one is important. So we play USC on Saturday, November 1st at home. Okay. So you look at the first several games: Cincinnati, Akron, HCU, Michigan, Michigan State, at Maryland, at Minnesota, Northwestern. Everything through Northwestern is somewhere between we could win that game and we should win that game, right? I think like all Husker fans would look at any of these teams, including Michigan, where Michigan is right now, and say we can or should or will win that game. Then it gets a lot harder starting with the USC game. So first of all, keeping with, because I'm a Kool-Aid drinker and rose-colored glasses and everybody knows that, I think like we could be rolling into that USC game with a head of steam, right? Mm-hmm. With what is that? That's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, we could be, I would guess we'll be somewhere between 6-2 and 8. No, let me just throw that out there. Okay. Well, 6-2 is certainly not unreasonable,
That's a reasonable, no, I think that's a reasonable expectation. 6-2 is extremely reasonable.
Yeah, if the ball falls 8-0
is not super reasonable, but we wouldn't have we ever been reasonable.
No, that's right.
I agree.
This is a fan podcast. It's in the name of the podcast, man.
Right, we are not journalists.
Exactly. So then things get really interesting. We're home against USC, at UCLA, at Penn State, home against Iowa, right? So that's going to be a gauntlet. November's been tough since we came to the Big Ten for all the reasons. And I also think it's really like, I'm going to pat myself on the back here a little bit. I have said since, oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? USC's head coach.
Lincoln Riley.
I have early onset Alzheimer's. I swear to God, I was picturing him in my head and I can't think of his name.
Punchable face.
I have said since Lincoln Riley got that job, it remains to be seen if he can build a championship program.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Mm-hmm. He inherited the keys to the kingdom at Oklahoma, and to his credit, he kept the Cadillac running. He got he won the Big 12 many times, and he got to the playoffs several times because he won the Big 12. Now, that's even in most, you know, in the last decade or so, that's what? Third best conference, fourth best conference.
Yeah.
But still, you can only play the teams on your schedule. You're only in the conference that you're in. He took care of the machine and kept it running at Oklahoma. And that's not, as we've seen at many programs, including Nebraska, it's not always easy to do that. But can he build a championship program on his own? He's at USC, historically a blue blood, surrounded by talent, in a place where, who doesn't want to go to LA? What young 18-year-old with talent doesn't want to go to LA? He's got all the advantages in the world. Yep. And he has yet, like, he's actually, you could argue, been a little bit worse each year he's been at USC. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I say all that to say, we don't know what they're going to be like. Maybe they'll shoot out of a cannon this year and they'll be undefeated when we play them and it'll be a really tough game. Or maybe they'll be like last year. I think when we went into that game, it was like, oh, these guys aren't as good as we thought they were. So who knows where that will land or where that will all come down. But like the Michigan game, shoot, if both teams are undefeated or both teams are 5-3 or something, it's two big names. It's two historic blue blood programs. Yeah. It still matters a lot. And I think it matters, like the loss hurts a little bit more and the win means a little bit more simply because it's USC, I think, to Husker fans. Sure. We've got a little bit of history with them too, even before, obviously before they're in the Big Ten. Any further thoughts on that?
Well, we're kind of just bouncing all over because I'm gonna go with what you were saying there, TG, because I had a list in mind, but since we've been going through, I've been evolving, and now you've got me thinking. I'm tired of already. I just want to beat a newcomer to the Big Ten. These people that got brought into our conference, and it just sucks that like last year they come in and they both like USC and UCLA, they just come in and they just beat us. Like they just beat us. Like, it just pisses me off. Like I want to beat a newcomer into our conference. So I was torn between UCLA and USC. I'm gonna go with USC.
It's not your turn, Jeff. You're free to comment on mine, but it's not your turn.
I might as well just roll into the US. I'm going to go with USC. I'm just picking up. I'm stepping in. I'm taking my turn. And you know, as a Notre Dame household that I come from, we're not big fans of USC anyway. So I want to welcome them to Nebraska, punch them in the mouth when they show up here. Lincoln Riley's got a punchable face too. Let's beat some newcomer ass, so to speak.
Okay.
Okay, Jeff.
Bully the new kid a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
Welcome.
That flowed out a little bit funny to me. Anyway. Yeah. Well, it's interesting too. We said this last year because the UCLA game it's November 1st this year. UCLA was November, I think, 2nd last year. And we did the Common Fan tailgate that weekend.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun. So that first weekend in November. We said it last year, but I would love for those California boys to roll it. I ended up not wanting it last year because we had our tailgate, but I would love for them to come in and have it be like a blizzard in Lincoln, right?
Yeah.
And just pound the rock and wear them down at the line of scrimmage. I would love to believe that's possible.
But and even anyways. If it's like 30, 40 degrees, like we can, like that's fine for us. Like, but that, you know, you're coming in from LA. That's quite a bit of a shock
to the system. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we always talk about what we're going to put on the first Common Fan T-shirt, which we have yet to produce yet. But maybe let's beat.
We got socks though.
Let's beat some newcomer ass. Should be added to the list of T-shirt ideas.
Let's do it.
Geoff and Lincoln. All right. Well, Jeff got us all out of order, but Matt. Go ahead with your game three.
Game three. I wasn't going to do it, but I feel like I have to, and this is I won't do it. I'll save it for last.
Say whatever. Do whatever your heart desires, little one. Say whatever.
Well, I would be disingenuous if I didn't say that Iowa was. Yeah. I mean, right. I wasn't going to do it because we all think. I mean, I think we all agree that that's like a game that can define. And you touched it on earlier. If we beat Iowa, our outlook this whole entire offseason would be pretty different. I mean, we'd be even more optimistic, I think, about things.
I think, go ahead. I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
I've detailed it on this podcast before, my disdain for Iowa Hawkeye, all of the Iowa Hawkeye fandom, and really their coaches and players too. It's just all just kind of real wannabe second rate operation. You know, they celebrate beating Nebraska like they just won the Super Bowl, even when we're not a bowl eligible team or whatever it might be. Yeah. And then they win in just disgusting ways, and then they act like they planned it all along. And maybe they do, but I just can't take it anymore, really. We've got it similar to Minnesota. I'm not saying we should never lose to Iowa because Iowa's turned into a pretty good football program. I'll give them that. But they're not on our level.
Still second rate, though.
Give them a damn thing.
I just can't take it anymore. So that that game, obviously, quite obviously, is one that could define the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So since Jeff went out of order, he already did his third one, which was
USC. Yeah, I did mine. All right. TJ, you mentioned this, that, right? That, I went out. I know that. I went out of order, TJ. Okay.
you just go on Iowa. The common fans understand that. I know you're going to, we know you're picking Iowa, TJ.
Well, no, it rolls well into mine. It rolls well into mine, which is also,
why I did this. There was a reason for all of this. Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I'm directing the show appropriately. So you
don't act like you think 30 seconds ahead on anything in your life, Jeff. So I'm going to go with Iowa as well. Because I hate them, and because all the reasons you said, Matt, are spot on. And what drives me absolutely nuts is the last 10 years have been arguably the worst 10 years in Nebraska football history. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe, you know, you could look back at the 40s and 50s. That was a pretty rough stretch too, but you could argue like this is among the worst stretch in Nebraska football history. And even with that, they have barely they beat us. They drubbed us twice. In 2016 and 2017, they drubbed us twice. Everything else has been last second walk-off field goals, games that we handed to them, especially in recent years. 2024, obviously, we dominated every inch of that game except for the final score. 2023 was that just ugly, neither team played offense game that, you know, we had, you know, somehow in 23 and 24, by the way, we had the ball with what? Less than a minute left in both of them in a tie game, and they end up winning both in regulation. Like that should be impossible. That should impossible.
And to Owen's point, to act like that they planned that whole thing.
Yeah, right. And then we beat them in 22, but then 21 was where we had the 21-6 lead, was either late third or into the fourth quarter, maybe even. So like all these like just meltdowns by Husker teams that aren't very good, and they barely squeak out wins against us. So look, 100 years from now, assuming the world is still standing, you look back, those are W's for them and L's for us. There's no way around that. Like we have to own that as a program, right? But it just like drives me absolutely insane. Like you're right, Matt, they have turned into a pretty good program. This is the best stretch in Iowa football history.
Yeah,
it's been combined with our worst stretch or one of our worst stretches in history, and they barely beat us, right? So it's going to stop. We are going to start beating them regularly again. And that's going to start in 2025. That's just what we're like, there's no way, no other way. Like it has to stop. It will stop. And I also, it's interesting. They don't seem to have, they went and got this transfer quarterback who supposedly can do more than just hand the ball off. So we'll see what they do on offense this year, but it does feel like Nebraska sort of embraced the NIL world and the transfer portal a little bit more. You know, Iowa has gone against the norm and done it pretty well in recent years, but it, you know, will be interesting to see if they can keep up without doing as much in the transfer portal and with NIL as other programs are in this race in the new world of college football. Let's do, we have time. Like we got through that pretty quickly. Does everybody want to pick one more as like an honorable mention or just like one more that jumps out at you on the schedule?
Yeah, I do actually.
It's not your turn, but go ahead, Jeff.
I told you. I'm directing the episode, TJ. Right?
Why don't you go ahead?
I will.
Go ahead, Jeff.
How about this? Instead of just picking a game, I'll make a point. Can we just not have a loss that we shouldn't have? Because that
seems like a lot to ask.
I know, right? We don't need to be losing to like an Akron, or for God's sake, we don't need to be. What is it? Holy Cross University. Who are we playing Houston Christian again. We don't need losses like that. Can we just win the games that we're supposed to win? Please, just I want to go into games confidently and not have to hold my breath every time. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there a game on the schedule, Jeff, that you think would be the other than the Akron or Houston Christian? Which do you see one that would be like the game that we're not supposed to lose?
We should not lose to Northwestern. Like, do they have a home still? Like, do they live in a stadium yet, or like where are they playing at? I don't even know.
But you're right.
Right, but I'm just wondering like what their facilities are like. Where are they practicing? Like, I can't believe that they can field a football team right now the way that their programs. That's a game that we shouldn't lose a game like that. You know what I mean? And somehow we do tend to lose games that we're not supposed to lose. So let's just go with that one. Sure, let's not lose to Northwestern, guys.
All right.
How about that,
Matty O? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that we I can't believe, well, nobody mentioned this, but maybe it's because we just don't, the playing at Penn State.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took us this long to get to that game.
Like the second to last game of the season. Like hopefully there's a lot on the line in that game for both teams.
Yep.
I mean, if it's big enough, it could be one of those Penn State whiteout games. I don't know if they'll do it that late in November, though. Penn State, I don't know how late in the year they play night games, but yeah. They're kind of old school Big Ten, even though they joined later on, but. That's a huge game. Like Penn State's like right there. Like you think about who's the best teams in the Big Ten. I mean, it's always Penn State's always up there in the top, you know, now it's a huge conference, but now in the top three or four for sure. Yeah. And playing at, you know, at Penn State, Happy Valley, like that's, you know, like it's like the Michigan and the USC games, like two historic programs. Like, and we've got history with Penn State, right?
Yeah.
There's like the out of bounds in the '80s and some pretty good matchups when Bo was here that we kind of went in there and won a couple of times, I think. So there's history there, and it's two historic. I mean, I consider them, if they're not blue blood, they're right on the cusp. And so that's a big game too.
Yeah, nationally, of course it is.
I hope
100%.
So I think the reason that none of us pick that game for our list
because we think we're gonna lose
because we think we're gonna lose.
Exactly right.
And look, this is what you get on a fan podcast too, is the it doesn't make sense, but it's in one episode you have the high highs of the rose-colored glasses and drinking all the Kool-Aid, and the low lows of a fan base that's been beat down for about a decade and no longer expects anything. And it's just,
we don't want to talk about that game.
Right. So I think that's why none of us picked it. But let's look at it this way. If we go into Happy Valley and beat Penn State, that is probably the season defining game. That is the season defining game.
Yeah, on paper, that's the hardest game to me, right?
And if we go in there at like, if we go in there at like, that's game 11, right? So if we go in there at like 5-5, then it's just a notch on the belt, similar to what Ohio State would have been this last season.
Let's ruin somebody else's season.
Yeah, right. If we go in there at, I won't say 10-0, Jeff. If we go in there at 8-2.
You'd be a fool to say that.
If we go in there at 8-2, then suddenly beating Penn State puts you on the map of the playoff conversation.
Right? At large, and probably, yeah.
Who knows? I mean, maybe – depending on where the losses come, maybe you're still in the fold for the conference conversation as well. Mm-hmm. That's obviously a huge game. And you're right to bring it up, Matty O. I think that none of us brought it up because, that's a playoff. That's a playoff team. And James Franklin's got this rolling. It's so funny too, because one of the dads on Michael's baseball team, he's a Penn State guy, and he grew up in that area and he went there, and we were having this conversation at the tournament over the weekend, and he was basically saying like half the fan base loves James Franklin and half the fan base, like, it reminded me of Husker fans. Half the fan base think he's not good enough and he can't win the big game and he can't beat big games and he can't beat Michigan or Ohio State. And I think he's 1-19 against Michigan or Ohio State the last 10 years or something like that. But it's just so funny. Like, that's how we were with Tom Osborne forever. Right.
Yeah.
And now he's on the Mount Rushmore, arguably not just of Nebraska coaches, but of all college football coaches. As we've told other, like, careful what you wish for. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is James Franklin still hiring his coaches based on how attractive their wives are?
I don't know the latest on that. Matty,
do you know about this?
No.
He said this years ago, like, I don't know, his first few years at Penn State, that he hires coaches for his coaching staff based on if their wife is attractive or not, because he wants to know if they're a good recruiter.
That rings a bell now.
Okay.
That rings a bell now. I don't know. I'm sure that was probably. I
don't know
where we are on the pendulum of like things being okay and not okay. That probably would have gotten you fired in 2023, but maybe not in 2025. I'm not sure.
You know what? It's a different climate.
That's right. Different world. Different world.
Maybe when we're doing our Penn State prep during the season, we can kind of try to dig something up and find out if he's still doing that. Or maybe that was all just a big ruse.
We can ask him
to get us thinking he's this guy that he's really not.
We can ask
him. He'd be kind of that kind of guy to kind of have you thinking that he's this, but he's really over there and he's that.
Yeah. The college
seems like a shyster, is what I'm saying. James Franklin.
The College Huddle has a good Penn State podcast, so we can talk to those guys about it and see.
Oh yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts on Penn State there, Gio?
Yeah, no, I was along the same thoughts as you. Is like, I thought that would be just the most obvious game. Like, that would be the defining game of the season if somehow we pulled out a W there, regardless of our record. That's like, even if we're not even playing that well, that's this season, and we win that game, that's something that, like, if our coach is on the hot seat, that would be a job saving win anyway.
So, Definitely something that.
You'd be
like, well, the season didn't go as we wanted, but we beat Penn State on the road.
Yep.
Right. So for mine, of like an honorable mention or like one more that stands out, I mean, the two that jump out to me are, I think I got to go with Northwestern too, guys. The other one, so Northwestern and Michigan State's the other one that jumps out to me. We have had some phenomenal battles with Michigan State since they've been in the Big Ten. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even in Rule's first year, which is so annoying, they were so bad that year, and kind of the post Mel Tucker era, and we probably should have won that game. But like even before that, like the D'Antonio Bo battles, you know, like the Riley win in 2017, absolutely, like we had no business beating that team. Even going back to, like, I think it was 2011 when they came in as like a number 8 team with Kirk Cousins and Bo just.
We'd be
like 24-3 or something like that.
Yeah, it was at that game.
So we just had some really good battles with Michigan State. It doesn't feel like it has as much juice right now.
Right.
Jonathan Smith is a fine coach, whatever. Like, you know, like they go last year, 5-7 or 6-6 or something like that. I think it'll get the blood boiling for Husker fans more than like Maryland or Rutgers or something like that. Sure. But I think Northwestern is where I'll go with mine too, for a couple of reasons. One, we've also had classic battles with Northwestern. It's another program that you feel like you should never lose to, should always beat. But the caveat with them was always had a lot of respect for Fitz. Right. Mm-hmm. And like he was always a tough nosed coach, a perfect fit for that program. They always had those guys playing above the level where you thought they should be. And they won the Big Ten West several times. And so I think I'll go. However, whatever the word is I'm looking for, the NIL and transfer portal era has not been kind to them. Like the Stanfords and the Northwesterns of the world are the ones that are going to get left behind in this new era of college football. And so it kind of makes it all the more reason to feel like we really shouldn't lose to them. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's at home. So that'll definitely be one to watch. I think that's my other one. And it's like, that's one of those that I never, ever, ever would have guessed going into the Big Ten that we would have thought twice about. And I just, it's just Northwestern. Like, we should beat them. And like from early on, I think it was 2011. Was it 2011, Matty O, where it was like, we fumbled a bunch of times. Yeah. And then 2012, we really should have lost that game and we won on a last second field. Or no, they missed a last second field goal in Evanston. And like we were down, we were down like 2 touchdowns late. And in our frantic comeback attempt, like they dropped a pick, like Tommy Armstrong threw a pick that should have been a pick. I think it was Tommy. It's all running together now. But anyway, that was one that we won by like 1 point. And they missed the last second field goal in 2012. Then 2013, 2013 was a Western catch.
Yeah.
Anyway, there have just been several games. The Riley era, which should have, like, we lost to him 2 out of 3 years of the Riley era and absolutely should not have lost either of those games. So just lots of those and the Frost era too. So anyway, Northwestern is one that, like, really gets the blood boiling that we should never lose to and will be notable. It'll be more notable if we lose to him this year.
Yep.
Okay, guys. This is lots of fun. We're going to do, we're also going to do a post-spring 2025 schedule predictions episode at some point, probably in May, because those are always fun as well. And then we got lots of fun stuff planned for the coming months as well. So any final thoughts, boys?
No, I don't think so. For once, I don't have much to say at the end here, TJ. I don't have some wise-ass comment to say. It was fun directing the episode for you. I had to take the reins for a while there. I'm sorry. It was kind of getting off the track. So you can thank me later,
General. Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at it that way, sure. And you also just kind of interjected yourself where you weren't wanted, but it's fine.
All right, so I like this camera angle here. I like the way that we're doing this here. Yeah.
All right, Matty, any final thoughts from you?
No, just GBR, and we're going to get through this void. We called it the void earlier, May, June, right. July. We're going to have a lot going, guys. We're playing some golf, watching some baseball, you know, going to the pool. It's going to go by fast, and then it's going to be time to get serious.
It'll be fall camp.
We're going to be in it.
All right. Thanks for hanging with us, Common fans. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.